like asking you to come back and destroy it because you did make it. But it's so, there's so much garbage going on here right now that it's not safe to step out of your house. That's the truth.
That's true. That's true. Let's go to God in prayer before we even get started. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be able to be in your house today. Lord, we've missed two Sundays and how we longed, Lord, to be able to be here. And Lord, due to the snow and ice, we're not able to safely, Lord, to have services, and we canceled. But Lord, we're thankful, Lord, even with it raining cats and dogs outside, Lord. We're thankful, Lord, to be in the house of God. Lord, I pray right now you'd forgive us our sins. Pray, Lord, you'd forgive our nation, Lord. It's spilled oceans of innocent blood, little babies. Lord, the only thing wrong was, Lord, they wasn't wanted like you, Lord. They were rejected and they crucified you. And these little babies, Lord, their body parts being sold for money. And Lord, we can't hide our eyes from that. I know it's not hid from your eyes. And I know you're judging this nation, Lord, that used to walk 10 feet tall for God. And I would, Lord, it had come to itself. I would, Lord, it returned to God. I don't think it will, but I would that it would. But I pray you bless your churches, Lord, and bless especially this little church. Lord, I told them yesterday at the Preacher's Fellowship that it was a little church doing a big work, and I want that to always be true, Lord. I want you to be welcome to come in and visit anytime you want and do anything, Lord, that you want to do in our presence and give praise for doing it. Lord, we want you to have the preeminence, Lord. I don't want you to be outside knocking, asking to come in. I want you to come in, not even have to knock. Come in and fellowship with us even today, Lord, I pray. We sure do need your presence, Lord. We can't without you do anything. And yet through you we can do all things. And I pray you bless our efforts today. Bless the teaching of your word today. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Alright, we're in Revelation chapter 6. And I'm going to sum up Revelation chapter 6 as best I can. It's the whole book of Revelation condensed down into one chapter. And before I even read a verse, I want to explain what I just said right there. And the best way I know how to explain it is go back to Genesis chapter 1. And God tells creation. He talks about in the beginning. He created the heaven and the earth. And he went on down all the way up to 6 days. In the last verse of Genesis chapter 1, and God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now Genesis chapter 2 says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them, and on the seventh day God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made. Verse 4 says, these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. And God just goes in greater detail explaining creation in Genesis chapter 2 than He did when He mentioned it in Genesis chapter 1. Now, I'm using that for an illustration because everything that I read here in Revelation chapter 6 is going to continue throughout the book of Revelation. So just keep that in mind. Verse 1, John here is seeing these things that God told him to write them down. And John says, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard. John's seeing and John's hearing. That's one thing we've not seen. Eyes not seen, the ears never heard. Well, John's seeing it. John's hearing it. John's recording it. And here's what he says. He said, "And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see." You know, one thing about heaven, Brother Ed, is we're going to get to come and see. I've heard preachers preach on heaven.
Yeah.
I've entertained a lot of thoughts about heaven myself.
Yes, Lord.
I'm like Brother Ed, I just assume, Lord, come get us.
Yeah, Lord.
Get us out of this mess. But I thank God there is a place called heaven. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse number 2, well, verse number 1, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled." He made it personal.
Yes.
He didn't say, "Let not hearts be troubled." He said, "Let not your heart be troubled." He said, "You believe in God?" He said, "Believe also in me."
Amen.
Verse 2, he said, "I go away to prepare a place for you." Heaven is a prepared place. I taught Sunday school when I first got saved. I think the reason they put me in that class is they wanted to make sure I stayed in the church, and they were trying to obligate me. And the reason I said that is I didn't know enough Bible to blow my nose. And I've got little 10-year-olds in there in the class and they didn't know more Bible than I did. And I'm trying to teach this class. And one of them raised his hand, Brent Spillman, pastor of Little Bethel Baptist Church between here and Highway 90. And little Brent, at that time, is 10 years old. He raised his little hand up, and he said, "Brother Eddie." And I said, "Yeah, what you got?" Brent scared me to death. See that hand go up. He said, "I got a question." I said, "Okay, Brent, what is it?" He said, "How we know we're going to like it when we get to heaven?" I said, "Well, Brent, you like it here?" "Yeah, I love it here." I said, "Far better there." He said, "Thank you, Brother Eddie." But you know, that's what heaven is. It's far better than here. I like it here. I especially like it if somebody don't tell me I got to put a mask on.
Yeah.
I had to wear one yesterday getting gas early in the morning. And I was noticing how I was struggling to breathe with that mask on.
Yeah, Lord.
I felt like a bigger fool than I ever felt in my life. I thought, man, this is stupid. Well, anyway, I'm not putting you down for wearing a mask, but I don't want to be told I've got to wear a mask. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's right.
That's just the beginning of more to come. You'll get that on a slow train, but you'll get that. They're going to be telling you what you can and can't do from here on out. They're just testing the waters to see how it's going to go.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, John, he sees and he hears. And it's one of these four beasts, which is mentioned up there in the last verse of Revelation chapter 5. John said, "And four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever." You're going to see a lot of things in heaven. One thing you're going to see a lot of, you're going to see a lot of worship.
Yes, amen.
Now the Lord, he got a little worship when he was here. But you're going to see a lot of worship up there. I'm going to be one of them.
Yeah.
I'm going to thank Him for loving me.
Yeah, boy.
I'm going to thank Him for putting up with me. Oh, I'm going to thank Him for being patient. You know, Brother Ed, I deserved a lightning bolt.
Yeah, me too.
But I got mercy. I didn't get what I deserved.
That's right.
I got long-suffering love. I got complete forgiveness. My wife, she would kind of partially forgive me. I mess up all the time. And she wouldn't forgive all of it. She'd forgive some of it, but I was completely forgiven. I was completely loved.
Yeah.
And I will completely worship Him when I get to heaven. I'll worship Him now in spirit and in truth. But I'm going to worship Him there in person. And I'm going to worship Him there in the most purest worship that's ever been seen.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm telling you, I'm going to pour my heart out. I'm going to say thank you for loving me. Thank you for going to Calvary for me. Thank you for rising up from the grave for my justification. Thank you for protecting me, for praying for me, and for putting me in the family of God. I got in the family of God. I'm royalty now, thanks to Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, their worship. worshiping him. John, one of these four beasts we just read there, he tells John, he says, come and see. You know, Brother Ed, going to be a lot of that coming and seeing up there in heaven.
Yeah, Lord. Yes, they are.
I don't like missing nothing anyway.
That's right.
I ain't going to miss a thing when I get to heaven. And I don't know exactly how it's all going to go, but I know we're going to do a lot of coming and seeing. And we're going to be gathering and beholding. And firsthand, not secondhand, but with our own eyes we're going to see. With our own ears we're going to hear. And amen, why that come and see in heaven. Verse 2, John, when he did come, he said, and I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. That all sounds good, but it's not good. This will be a little bit of a curveball. That verse right there, of course, this is a vision.
Yeah.
That verse right there describes the Pope to the T. It does.
Yes.
I don't know if you've ever noticed or not, that Pope, he's got him a staff.
Yeah.
And on that staff, at the top of it, he's got a cross. He's got Jesus on that cross. And if you'll notice, it's got a little bow to it. And the reason it's got that little bow to it is because of that verse right there. That staff that Pope carries, he'd like to think he's a potentate, but there's only one. Then I probably should read that so people will take me seriously about what I'm saying here. Thank God for a Bible, amen.
Yes, Lord.
In 1 Timothy chapter number 6, I'm reading right straight out of the Word of God. At the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in His times He shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords.
Amen.
So make no mistake about it, John's here seeing in this vision someone on a white horse.
Yeah.
And he that sat on him had a bow and a crown given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, I'm going to scare some people right here. Hate to do it.
Put it on them.
Most of the problems we got today are religious problems.
Yes.
Amen.
Y'all probably don't know a lot about the Great Inquisition, where the Roman Catholic Church got filthy rich at the expense of others. They knock on your door, accuse you of being a heretic, and they take you out, and they put you to death on the most cruel means that there was. I mean, just suffering, unbelief. I'm concerned all this when I first got saved, and I have to admit, my eyes got the biggest I guess they've ever been in my life. But they would take people and pour molten metal down their mouth just to kill them. Hang them upside down, pull them in two with horses, everything else, just to take their wealth. Still going on today. The murdering going on right now over in Africa under pretense of so-and-so that have been hired to do the dirty work of the ones that are hiding behind the smoke and mirrors. You know, Brother Eddie probably shouldn't be as specific as I am right here, but this is a time you better be careful what you're believing in. What are you talking about, Brother Eddie? Let's go to the Bible.
Yeah.
You know, that's the best way to clear all this mess up right here.
Amen. That's right.
Matthew chapter 7. Word of God. Jesus giving a warning here. We'll be brief. Matthew chapter 7 verse 15. He says, beware of prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing,
yes,
but inwardly they are raven wolves. He went on to say, ye shall know them by their fruits. And then he went to the extreme. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Pay real close attention here. Don't let any of this slip. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. That's what John Baptist preached.
Yes.
The axe is laid to the root of the tree.
Yeah.
He says, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Now they don't want you to know their fruit. They want you to see the glamorous side, the charade. They got the incense. They got all the statues. They got all the wealth, all the gold, all the grandeur, all the pomp. But inwardly, they're full of dead man's bones.
Yeah, that's right.
Now here's why I said that. We're going to read just a little further here.
Yeah.
Talking about these false prophets. Jesus starts in verse 21. This is scary scripture unless you're saved. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now what is the will of God? Well, it's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance and be saved. The Bible said, God who will have all men to be saved. That's the will of God.
Yes.
And he went on, verse 22, many. How many, Brother Eddie? Well, look over here in verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in therein. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. When he says many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils? In thy name have done many wonderful works? You see, it all looks good.
Yeah.
Till you put it to the test.
Right.
And then it falls through. Now the Lord here, he says in verse 23, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now he just mentioned he never knew them.
Yeah, that's right.
Now over here, get my Bible here. I believe it's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. He said, I never knew you. Again, taking the Word of God for answers to what we're talking about here. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 27, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them,
right,
and they follow me.
Amen.
So I just want you to read between the lines here, because this is not talking about Christ. John sees it, and what he sees is, behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow. And a crown was given unto him. It's a worldly crown, an earthly crown. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. Boy, that's an understatement. Let me tell you what the goal of the Catholic Church is. To be the one church. And they are going to be. Sure enough. To have dominance. Put little churches like this church out.
Yep.
Stomp them in the ground.
Yeah.
Make them residue no more. But see what the Catholic Church don't understand. And look, I'm not putting Catholics down. I love Catholics. I want Catholics to get saved.
Yeah, that's right.
Listen, if you're saved, if you can stand and put up with all of that hypocrisy, all of that, you know, Jesus described them more fervently in Matthew chapter 23. And, you know, he described it to the T. He said, you go and you can pass land and sea to make one proselyte. And when you make him, he said, you make him a twofold more child of hell than yourself. They're not putting out the right fruit.
Right.
If you can be saved, somehow stomach the hypocrisy and the falsehood and the lies being promoted by the Catholic Church, just remember this. Whew. You're in the wrong place for one thing. Here's the end of the Catholic Church. It's mentioned in Revelation chapter number 17. It's at Mystery Babylon, the great mother of harlots, abomination of the earth. And John, writing here, he said, I saw the woman. You know, that's one thing they do. They worship Mary.
That's right.
That's a pagan thing right off the bat right there. But I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. This description of this one world church, this great Babylon, it talks about her. She says, I said as a queen in Revelation 18. She lives delicately. She ain't got a worry one. The world's made rich by her. You just have to read between the lines to get some of this. But if you read Revelation chapter 17, Revelation chapter 18, you'll come to this one conclusion. The last verse of Revelation chapter 18, and here's where I stop on speaking about the Catholic Church. And in her, talking about this harlot of a church, in her was found the blood of the prophets and of saints, and of all that were slain upon the earth. No one else can meet that description. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs.
Yeah.
Read Fair Sunshine. Read Martyr's Mirror. Get the truth. It's said, probably one of the greatest number of deceptions right there. Okay, we'll move on to verse 3. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. Now John's been already made to see this hypocrisy of verse 2. So now he's getting ready to see something else. Verse 4, there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that set thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. This second horse, this red horse, he's got power, and his power is to take peace from the earth. Jesus came down here offering peace, and they turned it down. He said, my peace I give unto you, and they wasn't interested in his peace. He's the Prince of Peace.
Yeah.
He's the only one that can offer or give peace. But they turned that down. Now here's something to do with the devil, because he said he caused them to kill one another, and the Bible mentions in John chapter 10, I believe it's verse 10, that the thief cometh but for to kill and destroy. And you know, he's talking about killing one another and taking peace from the earth. You'd think that might be going on right now.
Yeah.
I never seen so much of killing in all my life.
That's right.
And just turn on the news at any time, you can see where somebody's been murdered, somebody's been shot, somebody's been robbed, somebody's been done wrong. Man, these policemen, they got to have special equipment to handle the things going on in our day right now. But this one on this red horse, he's given power to take peace from the earth. And that they should kill one another. That's going on right now. My pastor brought this out. I thought it was really good too. They're teaching on Revelations also. They're in Revelations chapter 7. Right now it works out great for me, because he's a much greater teacher than I am.
Yeah.
And he's able to kind of break the ground. I'm coming back with the disc, breaking the clots. But anyway, there was given unto him a great sword. And he brought this out. And I never really dwelt on this till he brought that out. A great sword. We're down to the age of nuclear bombs now.
Oh, yeah.
The ability right now, I don't think they could destroy the earth. I think the Lord's going to do that. But the threat of launching a nuclear weapon right now is real. They just bombed Syria, I think, this week or last week. Who knows? That's all they do now. They just take off, killing, taking. But they've got the means. In North Korea, they want to fire missiles. Iran been firing missiles. Russia wanting to fire missiles. China wanting to fire missiles. But that great sword, it's able to kill a lot of people. You know, with a sword, you think you might be able to kill a lot of people. I mean, Samson took the jawbone of an ass and killed 1,000 Philistines at one time. Heaps upon heaps, he made them. But this is a great sword. And I believe it's kind of like Brother Rick mentioned. It's kind of like a nuclear weapon. That if it was set off, much people would die. And it does bring that out later in the book of Revelation. We'll be talking about that again. Much people will die due to this great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And, you know, there's four beasts. They're each one making a declaration. This one's talking about a famine. And you really should read on to verse 6. Because it does go with verse 5. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, "A measure of wheat for a penny, three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." Now, one has a great sword. He's causing people to kill one another. Peace has been taken from the earth. And I'm glad I ain't going to be here. Let me back up a little bit.
Yeah.
Thank God, Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, we're out of here.
Yeah.
We don't even show back up to Revelation chapter 19. So everything I'm teaching on this morning, thanks be unto God, it don't pertain to me.
Right.
Hey, I can read it. I can warn people about it. But I ain't going to be here. Amen. When the wrath of God is poured out. When the judgment of God is poured out. When the indignation of God is poured out. Praise God, I'll be kicking gold dust up in heaven.
Yeah.
This famine is going to be a terrible time to be on this planet. One place here in Revelation, it talks about woe unto the inhabitants of the earth. Talk about the devil coming down. He knows he got but a short time. But there's a lot of woes in here. I'm glad I ain't going to be here when the wolves. Thought I could pick one up here. Third woe cometh. Hold on a minute. Well, I ain't going to labor that. But I'm glad I ain't going to be here when the wolves come up on the world. Amen. I'm glad, praise God, that God has a better place for me. I'm glad, praise God, He's coming for me. I'm glad I'm going to be out before all of this comes on the scene. I can read about it. And you know what? I can't stop it from happening. But I can tell people like Noah did, you better get in that ark.
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking about that ark, Brother Ed. I was reading a little bit about the earth. You know, 2/3 of this earth is water.
Yeah.
One reason we're on dry land is because of gravity. If it was to somehow do away with the moon, we'd be flooded immediately. You got high tide, low tide, which is affected by the gravitational pull of the moon. But in Noah's day, the Bible talks about that even the tallest mountain was underwater, something like, I don't know, 16 cubits or something like that. But a Mount Everest is, I think, 39,000 feet above sea level. I might not get that exactly right. But just imagine you're on ground and you're in an ark. God has shut the door. The judgment of God is coming on this earth. And the next thing you know, you're about 40,000 feet up. And underneath you is a bunch of dead people that just would not listen to preaching of a man of God that Peter called him a preacher of righteousness.
Yeah.
That he preached for 120 years and not one convert, only his wife, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, their three sons, and their wives, 8 souls escaped that judgment. But the preaching was to warn them. And they did not heed it. Not like today. They're not heeding. But I can warn people about what's coming. I can show them what's coming. I can say, look, you need to get out of this mess that's coming your way and get in Christ and get saved. If not, they're going to be drinking from this cup. When it talks about, see thou hurt not the oil and the wine.
Yeah.
I've tried to think of what that could be pointing to. It's bound to have something to do with the Jews. And my pastor, he didn't really have a lot to say about it. I don't really understand it neither. But the oil and the wine is like a type of the Holy Spirit. And I know that God's people, the Jews, they're going to go through this trouble. It's a time of Jacob's trouble.
Right.
And I know that many of them are going to get saved. I know a lot of people are going to get saved during this tribulation. And this may be a reference to people that do come out of this tribulation, which is mentioned in Revelation chapter 7. In verse 14, they which come out of great tribulation washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. But that's got to be a reference to salvation, I think.
Yeah.
There will be people that will get saved in the tribulation. It'll be tough. Right now I'm saved by grace. Hallelujah. But in the tribulation, to be saved, whew, you'll have to deny the mark of the beast, which you won't be able to buy or sell without that mark. You'll have to keep the 10 commandments. You'll have to keep the commandments, the law of God. I don't know nobody can do that.
No.
And you'll have to live not your lives unto death. That's 3 things. I don't know if anybody can do any of them, but there will be some that'll be desperate enough that they might be able to do it during that time when they see these events coming upon the world and they realize how real it is and how earnest they need to be to get out of this dilemma they're in. They may be able to do it. Verse 7, When it opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. Now four times John's been told to come and see more since Kevin. Four times John's been told to come and see, and everything he saw, I don't want to see, I can tell you that right now. But verse number 8, he said, and I looked, and behold a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. That might be good motivation to resist taking the mark of the beast and keeping the commandments of God and loving not your lives unto death. Because when you see this one on this fourth, this pale horse, and his name's called death, and hell followed with him. When you see that, that might be enough to cause people to keep the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
I have to admit, a probably motivated person can do a lot of things, Brother Jerry. I was picking up Flynn up in Hassel one day. Beautiful day. It wasn't raining cats and dogs like it is right now. And I topped a hill picking this flint rock up. I had 2 5-gallon buckets, and each one of them was about a third full. It wasn't half full. It was about a third full. But it was good flint. I was glad to find it. I topped that hill. Just soon I topped that hill, I heard this, oh! And I looked, and here come a bull and a dead run for Brother Ed. Now, I've got 2 buckets of rocks in my hand, and I'm running for all a white man can run. This bull's got his nose in my back pocket. I mean, it's step for step all the way. If I'd have missed one step, it would have been terrible. And I'm sitting there thinking, throw the buckets down. But I wouldn't let them go. I've got them. I mean, his nose is in my back pocket. And I was thoroughly motivated. And I'm running downhill. And I mean, it's step for step. When we got to the fence, I didn't set the buckets down. I didn't reach. I cleared it. I'm talking about, I believe I could have jumped if it had been 5 more feet higher. I jumped that fence with those buckets of flint in my hand, expecting this bull to explode through that fence. And I turned around, and that side thing stopped and went to grazing. As soon as I got to the other side of that fence, I wanted to throw a rock at it. If it hadn't been flint, I would have. But I tell you what, you're probably motivated. It probably surprised you just how fast you can run. I mean, I'm looking, this bull's nose is in my back pocket, breathing. Right, I mean, on my behind. And it was step for step. But when these people in the tribulation see this man sitting on this pale horse, his name is death. I can't imagine what he looks like, first of all. I've done a lot of funerals. This is different. This man's name's death. He's not dead.
That's right.
His name is death, Brother Ed.
Yes.
And hell is following him.
Yeah, I know.
Now, the sight of that right there would probably be enough to cause someone to pass out. Mm-hmm. But that would be good enough motivation not to take the mark of the beast.
That's right.
Not to break the Ten Commandments and to love not your life unto death. That may be one of the reasons people do get saved during tribulation.
Yeah.
In my mind, I'm trying to picture, maybe this thing looks like a skeleton. I don't know. Maybe he's got red eyes. Maybe it looks like Nancy Pelosi. I don't know. I mean, that'd scare anybody. She's on a horse, I'd fall over daily. Just at the sight. Amen. Oh my. But it does say it's got a he name. And she done away with gender. I don't know how they're going to handle that. That's going to be like trying to keep him stepping in a pile of you know what out in the pasture field. But anyway, the Bible said in his name that sat on this pale horse was dead. That's his name. And hell followed with him. I was looking up the reference to that word death. I didn't really see anything that I want to turn to. And power was given unto them. Who? Now, let's listen to this just a minute here. He His name is Death.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard about the Hell's Angels. I've never been one. I thought about half one when I had that Harley Davidson back when I was dumb and drunk. Didn't have no sense. I didn't even get a front wheel. All I rode everywhere I went just like this right here. So drunk, I couldn't even kickstart it. But when it says, and hell followed him, listen to this. Hadn't even noticed this till just now. Hell followed him, and power was given unto them. That's kind of interesting there. Hell's got power. So hell's following this one sitting on this horse named Death, and power's given unto, you know, I work with a guy that don't even believe in hell. Well, I did work with a guy. I'm glad I'm retired. Now look, I ain't high cotton or nothing. But we're making it. And I sure don't miss hitting that time clock. I sure don't miss being made to wear a mask and rubber gloves and all that stuff. I don't miss any of that. Man, I'm like Brother Jason. I'm looking forward to everything turning green again.
That's right.
I'm looking forward to mowing grass again.
That's right.
I'm looking forward to warmer, gooder days. You know what I mean? But hell is following this one on this pale horse. And power is given unto hell. Man, I just caught my eye there. That's the way the Word of God is. It's quick and powerful. Power is given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with beasts of the earth. Man, that sounds like out of a Hollywood movie, don't it? I mean, you just holler out this line, go over and eat him.
Yeah.
Or you say, cut his head off. Or starve him to death, put him on a chain. You see, these ain't going to be good times. Right now, we're in the good.
Yeah.
Right now, praise God, we're in the age of grace. This is the age of judgment. And it's going to be a terrible time. You that are lost out there that are listening to this Sunday school teaching right now, this ain't a fairy tale. This ain't a fable. God's giving you ample warning to escape and listen to do something about your predicament because, listen, this is not going away. This is reality. Yeah. Even though it hadn't been, it's coming and it's in a hurry. You don't want to be here when it shows up. They're going to kill a fourth part of the earth.
Yeah. Yes.
With a sword, with hunger, with death, and with beast of the earth. Man, I don't want to be here. Verse 9, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, and for the testimony which they held. Like I said, that's good enough motivation right there to get saved in the tribulation. Man, if that's all the hope you got, I do believe that you would probably do whatever it takes.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, that puts it pretty serious, don't it, Brother Ed?
Yes, it does.
Can you imagine these people that are fearful? They don't have anyone to look to. You know, I'm glad I had someone to look to. I mean, when the pains of hell got hold on me, I'm glad there was a nail-scarred hand that said, I love you. I'm still interested. I'm still willing to forgive you. I'm still willing to save you. He's not going to be around during this time.
No.
Oh, they're going to be on their own. They're going to be eaten. You know, the Bible talks about God's not mocked. Whatsoever man sowed, that shall also reap. They're going to be eating their own problem, their own product, their own mess they made. They're going to understand they made a mistake. They're going to understand. I hope America realize they got duped November the 3rd, 2020. I don't know what we can do about it, but I don't believe we had a legitimate election. I'll let go right there. But anyway, here they are. And listen, they've been slain by the Word. No, they've been slain for the Word of God and for the testimony which they held. I told you this is kind of a progressive book. So let me show you what that looks like in real life. I'm in Revelations chapter 20. I'm reading verse 4. And I saw thrones, they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the Word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. You see, that gives a little bit more meaning to verse 9. John says, when he had opened that fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the Word of God and for the testimony which they held. Verse 10, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, doest thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? They've been beheaded. They're not happy about it, Carolyn. I thought about that this morning. You know, one thing good about being beheaded, you're suffering over. I mean, somebody might shoot you with a gun. They might not be a good shot. You know, somebody going to shoot me, I hope they're a good shot. I don't want to suffer. If I want to be shot, I may make it count. But when they cut your head off, listen, you're dead.
Right.
You can forget it. It's over. They're not happy about it, Carolyn. They're crying out to the Lord, saying, avenge us. You see that merciful, long-suffering, loving Savior. He said, I'm going to, just not right now. I'll get to that here in a second.
Yeah.
I thought about it. Here's where they cut your head off. They pull your hair back and they cut it off like this right here. And your head just falls backwards. It don't take no time. You can do it so fast. They pull your head back and that's all they do. Is just right here and your head's gone. That spine back there in the back, it'll just fold right over. See these two big things right here? That's what's holding my head where it is right now. I turn it up. They cut them things till it's gone. It flip over backwards. Set me free. Amen. You know, I just sooner not have my head cut off, but I'll tell you right now, if it comes down to it, I'd gladly lay this bald head down for him. Amen. But they're not happy about getting that head cut off. And they cry with a loud voice. I like loud every now and then. I went to a preacher's conference yesterday. There was two young black girls singing there. They called the Turner Sisters. One of them had Brother Ed a little bit louder voice than that other one. Landon. Hey, brother. They could both sing like angels. That one had a little bit louder, more stronger voice. She's one playing the piano, the other playing the guitar. Every now and then they just had to let it both go. They just like this. I mean, they singing my kind of songs. But they're crying with a loud voice. They're wanting to be avenged of what's happened to them. And rightly so. And here's how the Lord handles it. Instead of bringing vengeance, He gives them white robes. Verse 11. And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. See, man has never really understood the plan of God. God says it like this, Carolyn. Let the tares grow up with the wheat. Lest when you pull the tares, you know, you root up one of the wheat. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Is it not raining outside? He calls it the rain on the just and on the unjust. He causes the sun to come up on the just and on the unjust. So he tells them, here's you some white robes. Just wait a little bit. I'll take care of it. But not right now. I can't believe we already got this many people here, Brother Ed, on a rainy day like today. I was expecting maybe two. Raining cats and dogs. But I'm like everybody else. I've been missing what we take for granted here at Landmark Baptist Church. I don't know about y'all, but everything of God is good. And He blesses it so much that it gets even better than being good. I like it when my cup runs over. Amen. And the Lord's explaining why He's not going to answer their prayer right there in verse 10. He said, I want you to rest for just a little season until your fellow servants and your brethren that should be killed as they were should also be fulfilled. So God wants to get these out before He destroys earth. He's going to destroy it too, buddy. Now, I really like these next verses. Said, I beheld when He had opened the sixth seal. Lo, there was a great earthquake. California's in the ocean right there. I wish that happened today. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. I mean, listen. The sun. Can you imagine man trying to put a light up in the... I mean, we've sent everything else up out of space. But can you imagine man saying, you know, that sun, it gives off radiation. And, you know, there's a whole lot more to the sun. And I'm not that smart. They tell me if you live down there close to the equator, Tammy, that you'll pretty much live forever. You get vitamin D every day from the sun. I'm not a scientist, not a doctor, I'm not smart. But he said the more sun you get, actually the better off you are. But if they said, you know, this new green deal, we got to get rid of that sun, it's causing global warming, and they put some kind of contraption up there, and somehow or another they're able to blow the sun up. And can you imagine this contraption up there? Well, God's going to take care of that problem for them. The sun is going to become black like sackcloth. There's not going to be no light. Same God said, let there be light, is going to say, let there be no more light. And the light's going to go out.
Wow.
And when the light goes out, when it becomes black as sackcloth of hair, the moon's going to become as blood. That's one of the signs the Lord told them to look for when the world's going to end. He said in Matthew chapter 24, He said, and the stars of heaven fail under the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she's shaken of a mighty wind. And the heavens departed as a scroll. You know, right now I look up and I see one side of heaven, but that other side I can't see. Well, they're going to be able to see it right here. Heaven is departed as a scroll when it's rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their place. There's going to be a whole lot of shaking going on. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men, you know, like Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, you know, them ones that have robbed you. And they're sitting on fortunes that, you know, Bill Gates has just got too much money.
Yeah, he does.
I mean, Rita, he's got so much money and so much power. He's trying to kill you. You understand that? Bill Gates is actually trying to depopulate the world.
Yeah.
I think by 2/3 population. He wants to euthanize. That's why the governor up there in New York, Cuomo, that's why he put those COVID-infected people in those nursing homes. They were not essential. That's why they put them in them refrigerated trailers out there like you would carcasses of animals, put people in refrigerated trailers to hide the evidence. It caught up with him.
Yeah.
But that's just the tip of the iceberg. There's several of these vaccines out there that they're offering to people. One of them's made by Bill Gates. Don't take it, please, don't take it. But really, you see something right here, it'd make a lot of you probably mad. But how did we go from a faithful nation to a fearful nation?
Yeah.
There's probably multiple answers to that question.
News media.
Amen. Jason, that's probably covers 95% of it. What Trump called it, fake news.
Yeah.
Right.
You better start paying attention. Don't be deceived. Don't believe everything you hear. Check it out like it did in Acts 17, verse 11, whether it's so or not. There's probably some truth in some of the things they say. But that little leaven, watch it. Bill Gates, he'll be one of those rich men probably. He's going to lose it all, Rick. But you know what? I'm going to gain it all. Can you just imagine being royalty? Can you imagine Jesus putting a crown on your head and saying, you're home?
Amen.
I mean, the Queen Sheba, best statement I ever heard in the Bible, Carolyn. She come to see the glory of Solomon, and when she seen it, she said, the half ain't been done. Be a lot of that going on up there. I never been a king before, Jerry. We are. We're going to be kings and priests. Yep. We're going to rule and reign with them. I never ruled nothing. One time I thought I was the head of our house. That's why I ain't got no hair. I just thought it was. You know what I mean? My wife is going, who are you talking to? I said, what business you? She said, watch it, boy. I duck and run out. Yeah. These rich men, they're going to get their boy Sandy. I can't believe you're here this morning. I'm sitting there thinking, what's the chances of Sandy being here this morning? Look here. She shows up. I was bragging to her and my pastor yesterday as we drove all the way to Stanton, Kentucky. You know what he said? He said, you got a good one right there. I said, amen. Amen. Little church. Hallelujah. Getting bigger all the time. Watching it grow. But these kings of the earth, they ain't kings no more, Brother Ed. They got dethroned. I can just see some of these political tyrants we got right now. About like Pharaoh, who is the Lord that I should obey him? Now I'm looking at time back here. I know I'm running out of time. I'm enjoying this too much. Stop. So we ain't going to worry about time. We just got one service. We'll cram this in here. But these kings of the earth and these great men, you know, Hollywood, Nancy Pelosi calls us the little people. You know, these elites. You know what I mean? I mean, we're just an offense to them.
Yeah.
I'm just little old Eddie Wade. This is my sister. She's not an offense to me. She's precious. But these people, they don't even know us. They want us out of the way. Hallelujah! Amen. Now, Brother Ed, I sat there and told you wasn't going to be three people here today doing all this rain. Look here, Jordan, Casey, Starr back there. Amen.
What I tell you this morning.
Now, Casey, right? I have to admit, he had more faith than I did. But, you know, it's been a while. Absence does make the heart fonder. Well, hey, let me get on here. These kings, these great men, these rich men, these chief captains, you know, these, I guess they call themselves somebodies, we're nobodies. These mighty men, every bond man, that means people I owe. My pastor preaching yesterday talking about owing people. And he said one time, he said, I had to go all the way to Bowling Green. Wasn't enough money in Glasgow. No. You know, he said, I borrowed all the money available to me in Glasgow, went to Bowling Green, went to borrow money. But these bond men, free men, they hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. They ain't been hiding up to now, Brother Jason. They're looking for a hiding place now.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
That's right.
A fame that they greatly feared. It's not a tale being told no more. It's showing up, Casey. Mm-hmm. They're scrambling, trying to find somewhere to hide. I'm glad I got a hiding place.
Yeah.
Under the shadow of the Almighty. Lord, I got me a hiding place. I'm not going to be here when all this is going on.
No.
But they ain't going to have that hiding place, Brother Ed.
No, they're not.
They're going to be looking for one. Ain't going to be one provided. Let me finish this up real quick. Man, I love this. They hid themselves in the dens. I guess the animals had to run, I don't know. And in the rocks of the mountains, and said on the mountain rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him. Yes. They're seeing something now, Brother Ed.
Yes,
they might not want to see it before,
right,
but now they ain't got no choice. They said, hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? We'll stop right there. What a dilemma the world's going to be in.
Amen.